Welcome to Egyptian Mysticism Yesterday, A Course in Miracles Today, a 365-step journey to enlightenment, guided by Dr. Caroline Isis Fuqua.
Step 11. In Egyptian mysticism, we are taught that there are two places inside of which it is possible for one to stand or to position himself: in kingdom or spiritual consciousness, or in worldly consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is symbolized by a white crown that looks like a bowling pin, and worldly consciousness is symbolized by a red crown that resembles a soup ladle. The white crown is filled with information about the truth of who we are, that is, the image and likeness of God, whole, perfect, and complete. And the red crown, designed to be context or vehicle for the white, should be empty if not utilized for its rightful purpose. However, since we have choice as to where we place our focus, we are able to align our thinking with the truth, or, as is most often the case, we can choose to align with the meaningless, the illusion of lack in any or all areas, finances, health, and relationships, for example. And since what I think is outpictured in the world around me, my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Step 12. In Egyptian mysticism, we learn the principles or laws that create and sustain the universe. The most important of these is the law of mentalism, which explains that everything manifest or materialized is the result of a thought. If I don't know the truth about myself, which is that I am the image and likeness of God, I am going to see myself as devoid of meaning. If I see myself as devoid of meaning, my thoughts and thus my world will reflect that, and the world I see will be filled with pain, suffering, and lack, which will keep me in a constant state of upset. And indeed, I am upset because I see a meaningless world. Step 13. When I feel separate and don't realize that I am one with everything, I believe that there is nothing anywhere unless I find it and put it there. There is no safety without locks, no abundance without money, and no love without sacrifice. When I turn away from the everything that is God, I turn toward nothingness. And since nothingness does not exist, this is a meaningless concept. The world of lack that I have thought into existence is truly meaningless. And a meaningless world definitely engenders fear. Step 14. The real world is God outpictured in form. All of the magnificence and beauty we can imagine is what God is, and thus what was projected from the nominal or invisible realm to the phenomenal or visible realm. It is filled with abundance and meaning everywhere I look. If it has no magnificence or meaning, God did not create it, because God did not create a meaningless world. Step 15. My thoughts are the film in my camera. They are projected on the screen that is my life. If my thoughts are meaningless, that is, not aligned with God's, the images will be meaningless even when they appear to me as real. If my thought is that there is never enough money, because of the law of mentalism, the images that appear on my screen will all center around lack. If my thought is that relationships don't work, I might attract one, but I won't be able to keep it. The image on my screen has to be of me sitting alone, wondering why I'm sitting alone. Because my thoughts are images I have made, all I will ever see is faulty thoughts projecting faulty images. Step 16. Based on the law of mentalism taught in ancient Egypt, all thoughts, whether meaningful or meaningless, have the power to manifest themselves. And all my thoughts are either meaningful, that is, based on what God created, or meaningless, based on what I made up aligned with my egoic, separated self. There is no in-between. Therefore, I have no neutral thoughts. Step 17. Since I can only see my thoughts outpictured as my circumstances, and since I have no neutral thoughts, it follows that I see no neutral things. Step 18. There is only one mind, and that mind is God's. We were all created as one thing out of the one mind, and that one thing is creation itself. We may appear as separate physically, but our mind and spirit are actually one. What I see outpictures a belief that I hold and thus share as though it is the truth, not just what I made up. Because of the universal law of vibration, when you enter my auric field, our consciousnesses have to match in order for you to remain there. If I hold the image of abusive relationships, even if you have never been abusive in your life, when you are with me, you become abusive because I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing. Step 19. My images are thoughts outpictured. All thoughts on some level are shared and thus affect everyone and everything. All water on our planet is connected as all minds are connected. As such, if a rock is thrown into the Amazon River, all of the water on the planet is affected. My toxic thoughts affect everyone and everything adversely, and my loving thoughts affect everyone and everything positively. And since I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts, and since there are no neutral thoughts, every moment, as a result of my choices, I am raising or lowering the whole vibratory field. Step 20. I am clear that my thoughts determine what I see. As a matter of fact, my thoughts determine whether I see or not. Because of varying perception, all looking is not true seeing. In Egyptian mysticism, Horus, the ascending soul, was blinded when he refused to see the truth about his relationship to Set, the ego, and his vision was restored only after he learned and applied universal law and accepted the truth about his identity as the image and likeness of God. I must learn and accept the truth about who I am because I am determined to see.